All right, it's been a while since I put out a podcast. Yes, I'm still dealing with the loss of the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl, but I'm over it. I got over it. I'm back. Today we're going to talk about the mini-series that took over the world, Shogun. The original series that first aired in 1980 had a reboot, and it was actually pretty good. So we'll talk about this more on the other side of the break. So let's get this started.
You're listening to The Daily Podcast with Eric B.
Welcome, everyone. It's The Daily Podcast, and I'm your host, Eric B. Yes, it's been a while. January 29th was the last time I put out a podcast, and that was right before Super Bowl, and I was going to follow up with the 49er Super Bowl victory speech, but it didn't happen. It did not happen. As we all know, the 49ers did not win against the Kansas City Chiefs. They ended up losing, and ever since then, my whole life has been, it's been like this. I stopped watching sports. I stopped watching football. I stopped watching everything. I was like, you know what? I'm done watching. But again, I'm over it now. It is done. It is what it is. The game is over. Season must go on. And I started watching a lot of TV. Shogun. I'm going to play some Shogun music in the background. This is the Shogun soundtrack on Apple Music. Fitting enough, we're going to play this in the background. But the remake, who's on FX, and then you can rewatch it on Hulu with a cast of Cosmo Jarvis as John Blackstone, Anna Sawai, Tonara Mariko, Hiroyuki Sanada as Yoshi Toranaga, Tanabu Asano as Kashigi, who was the traitor of the family, and then Takiro Hira as Ishiro. Those are just some of the names of the cast members, the big cast members. Again, it was a good movie. It was a good mini series. The 1980 Richard Chamberlain one was also good, but it was super, super long. I remember as a kid, my parents would always say, Shogun's on, Shogun's on. And it would start probably like at 7 in the evening and not until 11 in the evening. And as a kid, your attention span is always like, why is this still on? I want to watch cartoons. But that one started Richard Chamberlain. And a lot of you guys who grew up in the 80s would remember that. The book was written by James Clavell. And the storyline was James Clavell as well. And for you guys who don't know or lives under a rock, it's pretty much a story of a mysterious European ship that lands off the coast of Japan and just happens to land on Lord Toranaga's land or island or his people's. And there is a plot to throw Toranaga out of the realms were all together back. This is 1600 Japan. That's the era of Japan that we're looking at back then. So they're trying to throw him out of office as we see it now. It's office, but back then it was just seat of the council. And throughout the whole show, it was just deceptions. It was lies. It was all these things that you didn't know what was coming up next. You didn't know if someone was going to die. It's kind of like, I don't want to call it the Japanese version of Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is a little bit more barbaric than Shogun, but it was kind of something like that. If I had to give it a description, it was something like that. But it was a little bit more on a lot of talking side. You know, Game of Thrones is a lot of killing, very gory, very bloody. Where this one, there was more strategic things involved. There was more things involved that you had to watch it and you had to listen to it. And it is in Japanese. So if you don't like reading subtitles, then on Hulu, so it showed on FX on Tuesday nights, but But then Hulu released it Monday at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which is 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So a lot of us who are watching it, we watched it at 9 o'clock. I would like to watch the English version that night. So on Hulu, you can change it to the English dub. It's a lot easier for me to watch and listen. I'm one of those guys that I like watching the scenery. I like to see what's going on in the background. When I'm busy trying to read subtitles, it takes away from me. Yeah, the authenticity of them speaking is what a lot of people said. I want to hear the true language. I do too. Trust me, I do. But I also want to see the scenery because the cinematography, the costume designs in this show, to me, deserves an award. To go back to 1600 Japan and for them to wear the costumes, their hairstyles, everything that they did, the director and the producers who did all this, perfect. I mean, that's all I can say. Perfect. There was different directors, there was different producers every episode. Hideyuki Sanada was one of the producers in a lot of the episodes. But for them to just sit here and to just bring me back, and you guys know when I watch movies, I like to be in the movie. I like to be part of the cast. I just think of myself as, if I was here in this time of Japan, what would I be? That's how you get lost in movies. Whether it's a TV show or a movie, that's how you get lost. You put yourself there. And I did. And I loved it. To me, it was just a nice way to get away and to bring yourself back in 1600 Japan. Me being Filipino, I probably would have got executed in Japan. Probably thought I was a traitor, you know. And that's where John Blackthorne, Cosmo Jarvis's character, pretty much happened to him. He's from England, found a route to Japan, kind of told Lord Toranaga the reason why he's there. It didn't really say why he was there. Didn't say what the whole reasoning for him. He just was trying to find a route to Japan. They found a route. He got held captive in Japan. And the real John Blackthorne, John Adams, I believe his name was John Adams or something like that in true life, who served under the Tokugawa clan, who is Toranaga supposed to be portraying in Shogun, ends up living in Japan, ends up having mixed babies, and just his whole life turns around after he landed off the shores of Japan. That's the true story to it. But the TV story, again, it was really good. There was a lot of Anna Sawai, who played Lady Mariko. Her character, I think, stole the show. Even though Hideyuki Sanada, again, Lord Toranaga, who played brilliantly, was probably the main star. And the funny thing is, Hideyuki Sanada and Tanatobe Asano, they both starred in 47 Ronin, and they were both enemies in 47 Ronin. And for them to bring them back and play a traditional Japanese role, to me, was really good. And I, you know, it's one of those things where it was one of those shows where I enjoyed every episode. But again, it was only 10 episodes. I wanted to see more than 10 episodes. I wanted to see more than, you know, they ended the end of the show with Toranaga explaining how he's going to take over Japan and become Shogun. That's how it ended. They didn't show us how it ended. Give us a little glimpse of how it would end. But then they didn't show us the battle. Again, the battle was supposed to be the Battle of Sekigahara. That's where the real Toranaga, Tokugawa, battles and wins. And then that's the start of the Edo period. He unifies Japan. He stops the fighting. No more battles. No more regions going against other regions. And Japan becomes one of those, you know, peaceful countries that everybody likes. It was a good storyline. It was a good, you know, it gave us a look. And from what I'm hearing from a lot of people, the 80s version was a little on the corny side. You know, the Japanese costumes there, the American costumes. It was good for its time, I believe. You know, I see videos of what it was in the 80s. I see how it looks. And it does look good. So if you're in the 80s and you're watching this, you probably felt like, wow, this is what it is in Japan. Where this one, 2024, felt a little bit more authentic. From their samurai costumes to their shogun, you know, everything, to just even the peasants that lived off the village, the costume designers, they did a tremendous job. Now, if you look at IMDb right now, they got a 9.0 rating out of 10, which is pretty high. And this show is based off adventure, drama, and history. Again, some of the stories are true. They consider this a mini-series. And again, the book was written by James Clavell. And it's just one of those stories where I can watch over and over and over again. Yeah, it's like Japanese subtitles. There's a lot of, you know, authentic Japanese speaking. But I can watch it over and over and over again. Again, this is the Shogun original soundtrack. You can find this on Apple Music or wherever you download your Apple or wherever you download your music from. I always say Apple Music. 10 episodes. If you watched it on Hulu, they're about an hour long. If you watched it live or, you know, when it aired on FX, you're looking about an hour and a half because of the commercials. And just the cast and crew in this episode, to me, was great. Hideyoki Sadana played the best Torogawa to me. Torogawa. I'm putting both their names together. Torunaga to me, and it was just one of those episodes. And it's funny because IMDb breaks down every episode. So episode 1, they gave it an 8.5 out of 10, and that was called titled Anjin. That's what they called Cosmo Jarvis's character John Blackstone. They called him Anjin, which in Japanese means pilot, because I guess he was the pilot of the Erasmus, which was his ship. So that's what they called him, Anjin. Episode 2, Servants of Two Masters. They gave that a 9. This is IMDb again. You know, you guys, Rotten Tomatoes might have different ratings. This one gave it a 9. Episode 3, Tomorrow is Tomorrow, got an 8.8. Again, another good episode. Everything here, every episode, there was a good meaning behind every episode. Episode 4, The Eightfold Fence. This one, to me, was a tearjerker. Well, if you watched it, you would understand what I mean. Tearjerker, nonetheless. 8-Foot Fence. That was episode 4. Episode 5, Broken to the Fist. That one, 8.9. Again, this is, you know, Blackthorn and Mariko struggle to contain the secret. They had a little secret. Don't want to give it up for you guys who haven't watched it. Episode 6, Ladies of the Willow World. That got an 8.2. Again, the ratings, You guys see the ratings. Nothing below an 8. Spoiler alert, nothing below an 8. Episode 7, A Stick of Time, got an 8.4. And looking at our list, no, the episode 5 had the lowest of 8.2, Ladies of the World. Episode 8, The Abyss of Life. This one right here, it made me really angry. It made me really angry. But it made me realize Toranaga's plan had to be done. And the only way to do it was to deceive everybody involved. And he did a damn good job doing that. That got a 9. Then episode 9, the highest rating of all episodes, 9.6, Crimson Sky. And this episode, again, if you guys watch it, there's a reason why this was a 9. 9.6 is one of those episodes where someone was going to die. Someone died every week. It was a character that you either fell in love with. It was a character that you couldn't wait to die, but someone died every week. That's the significance between this and Game of Thrones, where Game of Thrones kind of had, you didn't know who was going to die. You didn't know who was going to die in Game of Thrones, right? Someone was going to die every week in Game of Thrones, and someone did die. And just like that, Shogun, someone died every week. And then the final episode, episode 10, A Dream of a Dream, at an 8.8. This was more the closing part of Shogun. All 10 episodes, Toranaga had a plan to try to take over Osaka. Toranaga had a plan to try to take over Japan. And the only way his plan could be fulfilled was he had to sacrifice people. He had to sacrifice people's lives. And people, his group, his clan, his servants knew the only way my lord can succeed is for me to do what he asked of me to do. And again, for you guys who didn't watch this, you guys won't understand what I'm saying. So I apologize to you right now. For you guys who did watch it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm trying not to give spoilers, because there's some of you guys who wants to watch it, just don't have time to watch 10 episodes at an hour episode each. That's 10 hours of your life. So I'm trying to give it to you in a way where you go watch this, you come back, you listen to the podcast, and you'll totally understand what I'm talking about.
You're listening to The Daily Podcast with Eric B.
Episode 10, like I said, it was just the closure of Toranaga's plan. And it worked. It worked. It worked really well. And here I am listening to the soundtrack of Shogun. Just because in every episode, there was a soundtrack, there was a song, there was something that just mixed well together in the show. It did. But it worked. It worked well in a way where this is exactly what we were looking for in a show. Again, I watched it maybe 2 or 3 times. Like I said, in the beginning, I was watching it live or airtime. Then when I watched it on Hulu, there was that option for me to change it to the English dub. And usually that's what I do. I'll watch English dub first. Then I'll go back and I'll watch the Japanese, you know, the what it's entitled or what it's intended to be, the Japanese speaking version. And I liked it. I liked both of them. So I'd go watch the English dub first, get a, you know, cue of what they're talking about. And then when they show it during the airtime, which was Tuesday nights here in the West Coast, San Francisco. Then I'd watch the Japanese dub or the original version. You get more of that, you know, authentic Japanese storyline. And I know a lot of people who watches shows like this, they, you know, I asked a couple of my Japanese coworkers, have they watched it? They're a little hesitant because they're like, you know, is it good? Is it corny? Does it, you know, is the Japanese actors in there? Are they really, you know, do they seem Japanese? Yes, they do. That's what I love about the show is they got a Japanese cast. They didn't try to whitewash. They didn't try to get like a Chinese person to play a Japanese person. They got Japanese cast. Now, Hideyuki Sanada was in Rush Hour 3. Was it 3 or 4? I forgot what he was in. He played Kenji, who was supposed to be the brother of Jackie Chan. That, to me, was like, okay. It's like, you're Japanese, but you're supposed to be playing his brother. I mean, I don't know. There was a storyline to it, but it was just kind of one of those where, you know, I liked him better when he played, in 47 Ronin. He was in, what else was he was in? He was in Mortal Kombat. He was an assassin in Avengers Endgame. He was in Bullet Train, John Wick 4. I liked him in those shows because he played who he was supposed to play, a Japanese character. You know, in The Wolverine, he played a Japanese character. In Rush Hour, I guess I gotta watch it again. It's been a while. Rush Hour 3, yeah, maybe I gotta watch it again. Came out in 2007, so maybe I gotta watch it again. But Hideyuki Sanada played a really good cast. He was Toranaga. He was the reason why this show did successful, I think. Anna Sawai was another reason why the show was successful. Her character in this was tremendous. And, you know, I kind of cheated a lot watching the show because I would go back and I would ask my dad, hey, did this happen in the 80s? He remembered. Even though I asked him once a question about the show and he got 47 Ronin and Shogun mixed up. He was talking about a witch that turned into a dragon and an Anjin who had to fight the dragon. I was like, that sounds like 47 Ronin, man. That doesn't sound like what I'm asking you about. And he realized, oh yeah, you're right. I got the wrong show. It's okay. It happens. We all do that. We all end up getting the wrong shows in our head. But he realized he had the wrong show. But it was good. You know, Richard Chamberlain, his character had the American accent. He sounded like an American. If you guys watch any of the videos, he sounded like an American. Didn't really have that English accent. Where Cosmo Jarvis, he had that English accent. He's from England. He sounded English. It worked out really well. And it worked. The producers, the writers, the storytellers who wanted to bring Shogun 2024 to us made it as authentic as it could be from, again, from the visual effects to the language, to what they were saying, to what how they were doing it, to showing us castles back in the 1600s. From the samurai, to the samurai haircuts, to the samurai costumes, to them having to, you know, do seppuku, which is the Japanese way of dying with honor. It's just pretty much a suicide. But they would do that. And these warriors were so, if they spoke out of term, if they spoke out of line, they would just say, let me have the honor to commit seppuku and let me be done with it. Where that's how strong the Japanese tradition, Japanese culture was back then. I don't know when it stopped. I don't know when they said, no, there's no more seppuku in Japan. We can't do that anymore. But the way they did it here, I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. This is pretty cool. Do I agree with it? You know, tradition is different, right? If you go back to the history of Japan and how they serve their lords, how they serve their masters, there's a certain way you do things. Where nowadays, if you dishonor your family, it's different. It's different. But I love how they threw that in there. You know, the first time you see seppuku was like in the TV show. They probably did it in Shogun 1980. And I think they did, because I think Mariko, the lady who played Mariko, had to commit seppuku in that one. Her name was Yoko Shimada. And Torunaga was Toshiro Mifune. So I think she had to commit seppuku in that one. And again, the stories go back to back. There was a storyline in Shogun 2024 that pretty much matched Shogun 1980. And it worked. It worked. It worked so bad. It worked so bad in a way where a lot of people loved it. I was sad for it to be over. A lot of people that watched it with me, who, you know, co-workers of mine that we talked about it every week, we were sad to see that Hulu decided not to do season two. And the way they were ending it, the way that this was going to end, we kind of knew there's not going to be a season two. The way Torunaga spoke in episode 10, how the battle of Sekigahara was supposed to happen, how the air's flags wasn't going to fly over Ishido, and he was going to take over Japan. These are all facts. That's all really happened. I don't know about the flag in episode 10. I don't know about the flag. I don't know if that's true, if that's real. But it's all supposed to be true. Tokugawa takes over Japan, and the rest is history. So this has some facts. John Blackstone, I think he's with John Adams, or David. I don't know what his real name is supposed to be, but it's on there if you look it up. But I'm a little sad, like I said, that after episode 10, I think they said, we're done. And you can tell, I told my coworker, if you go back from episode 1 to episode 10, you can see where the budget was blown. Because episode 10 was more practical effects and there was special effects. Even the CGI at the end was kind of like, you know, didn't look great. But that's just how it was. You had a budget, and Hulu is a big company, but they're not big when it comes to big budget films. They probably didn't think it was going to be so good. They probably didn't think that this is going to be great, or this is going to be the way it is. They probably didn't think that way. They probably thought, yeah, it'll probably do good. You know, we'll deal what we have to deal with when we get it. They didn't think it was going to be great. I enjoyed it. I liked it. Kind of wish it didn't end. Kind of wish there was a storyline behind it, or more storyline with it. But at the same time, if they did do that, we'd be like Game of Thrones. we'd be like, okay, what's next? Who else is going to die? What else can they do? What else? How else can they solve this? Or it'll be like Walking Dead. Walking Dead is in, I don't know what season it is right now. They had to do spinoffs just for people to be interested. Michonne and Rick has a spinoff. Daryl has a spinoff. Just so people would be interested to still watch The Walking Dead. So for them to do 10 episodes and just say we're done, we're happy with the 10 that we have, I'm okay with. I'm okay with. Yes, I wanted more. Yes, I wanted to see the battle of Sekigahara. I want to see that battle. But at the same time, Hideyuki Sanada was like, dude, I'm done. Those 10 episodes, they only showed him in 9. He's one of the main cast. Only showed him in 9. Again, all-star cast. You know, the cast that they added on here, even from the peasants to the farm workers to the background guys, they did a great job. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot.
You're listening to The Daily Podcast with Eric B.
Now, my thoughts about the show, my thoughts about how it is, how it ended. When it first came on and they were showing teasers, you know, Super Bowl was big on Shogun coming on FX. Stay tuned for a scene from Shogun. I honestly thought it was going to be just another Japanese type show. You know, 47 Ronin, The Last Samurai. I thought it was going to be that kind of show. And it turned out to be more than that. Again, the visual effects. You know, there was a couple CGIs that they did, you know, when they showed old school Japan and they had like a drone shot of flying over old school Japan. Those are most likely CGIs because there's not a lot of towns like that. They could have did the whole how they did Godzilla back in the days where they would just have models of old, you know, models of houses and Godzilla would walk over it and destroy it. It could have been something like that. Could have just been model homes that they laid out and then they just had a drone fly over it to make it look like it was a big city. Or, like I said, it could have been CGI. But the practical effects, the acting, you know, the love between John Blackthorne and Mariko, Lady Mariko, you felt right away. You felt it. You felt, you know, when the character Fuji, who was John Blackthorne's consort, when her husband said, give me the honor to commit seppuku and I'll take the life of my son as well so my name doesn't live on. Again, Japanese people, they're all about honor. And when he destroyed that honor, he said, let me do this. Her character, most unrated character of all in the show, she had to go through, she was only in 7 episodes, but she had to go through 7 episodes having to deal with that death of her husband and the baby was a baby. Their son was a baby. She had to deal with that. And because they're so into the tradition, they're so into their lord, which is Torunaga, they had to sit there. And when Torunaga said, this is what you're going to do, and this is how you're going to do it, she couldn't say no. She said, okay. Even Mariko, The whole time we were watching her, she just wanted to kill herself. She wanted to end her life. She's like, dude, I'm done. Kill me now. Get me out of this lifestyle. But she had to serve her husband. She had to sit there and serve her husband and live that life. The whole episode, she just wanted to die. She kind of reminded me of Bruce Banner. You know, Incredible Hulk. Just kill me already. Find a way to kill me already. That's what it reminded me of. Or what her character reminded me of. But the whole concept, the whole storyline worked. It made me, whenever I watched it, whether I was watching the English dub or the Japanese, you know, subtitles, whenever I watched it, it made me feel like I was in old school Japan. It made me feel like I was back in that time. The costumes. I'm going to keep going back with the cinematography. Everything like that worked well. And I applaud the directors, the producers, for giving us Shogun 2024 and to bring us back in the 1600s and to let us see it visually. And at the same time, give us a love story that wasn't supposed to happen, but it did. And for us to sit here and say, you didn't like it, then there's something about you that you don't like. I don't know. To me, it worked. It worked well visually. It worked well storyline. They got the right cast. A lot of people's not big on Cosmo Jarvis. Again, he's not really big when it comes to, you know, the acting world. I mean, you guys say, you know, Cosmo Jarvis. What do you know him for? See, Shogun was his biggest thing. I'm looking at his IMDb right now, and I'm looking at all these names and, you know, not big name films, but, you know, for someone like me who's aspiring to get into film or TV, he has a bigger resume than I do, and I applaud him for that. And I like the fact that they got somebody that we don't really know. Right? What if they got like Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth? What if they got somebody like that? You know, then the story would have been different. You know, the biggest stars that's supposed to be in this show was the Japanese characters. That's why they got Hideyoshi Sanada, Tanhobu Asano, Anna Sawai, Takahiro Hira. That's why they got these Japanese characters, because they were supposed to be the cast. They were supposed to be the ones that we are watching and the ones that we're saying, wow, this feels very authentic. They got Cosmo Jarvis, who did a great job. Hated him in the beginning. Episodes 1 and 2 is really annoying. But that's how he was supposed to be. Then towards the end, towards episode 10, I was rooting for this guy. He changed a lot. A lot. He was a guy that he went from being stupid to being somewhat educated. I mean, he learned Japanese in 10 episodes. And that's probably the 10 episodes we're looking at, maybe 3-4 months. If you had to break it down from episode 1 to episode 10, Maybe five months is how long it took. And for him to learn Japanese in that time was like, wow. But again, my take on it, I loved it. Definitely recommend it. Definitely will watch it again. Definitely would go back and say, rewatch. I'm going to rewatch it. I got to get caught up on a lot of shows that I'm supposed to be watching. Tokyo Vice is a show that I'm supposed to be watching. Fallout just came out on Prime. Supposed to be watching that. There's a lot of shows that I'm supposed to be watching. I'm just opening up my Netflix right now to see what are the shows that I'm supposed to be watching. There's a lot. There's a lot that I'm supposed to be watching. There's a lot that I haven't watched. Just because there's just, you know, House of Ninjas. Again, Tokyo Vice. I finished The Brother's Son. Didn't even finish Warrior. So yeah, there's a lot of shows that I need to get caught up in. And Shogun was just one of those shows where it worked well with me because my coworkers were all into it. So when they're into it, we're watching it. When they're watching it, we're talking about it. It's one of those water cooler type moments where we'll say, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did she do this? Why did she do that? We don't know. It just did. But it worked. It worked to where we liked it. It worked to where we watched it. It worked to where I was sad it ended. But then now that I think about it, if it didn't end the way it did and they dragged it out, we probably would have been like, come on, dude. End the show already. Kill him off already. Oh, come on. Kill him off already. The rest is history. You want to know what happened? Go back, look for Takagawa, the story of Takagawa, how Edo started, and then you'll find it. Again, the Shogun soundtrack, the original soundtrack, Apple Music, 17 tracks, 46 minutes total. It's a good track. It's a good track. It's not your traditional Japanese Zen type soundtracks, but it's a good track. And again, if you watch the show and if you've seen and you can pull, again, there's a show called naming the tracks, the main title. There's Crimson Sky, which is the name of one of the titles. The Pull of Death, Willow World. All these are from episodes, or all these are from scenes. So it works. It works well. Really well. All right, guys, I want to thank you guys again for jumping on and listening. If you guys are just jumping on, if you guys are just listening, again, I haven't put out a podcast since January 29th. I was really, really butthurt with the San Francisco 49ers losing to the Kansas City Chiefs, but it is what it is. That's already over with. I've been doing the vlogs again, so follow me on Eric B's Daily Vlogs. I've been doing a daily vlog again. I've been going out and about. I've been showing you guys parts of San Francisco. So follow me there. I'm on YouTube. Eric B's Daily Vlogs. For you guys who listen to the podcast, follow me there. Something happened with Google Podcasts, so they got rid of the Google Podcast. So if you guys listens to the podcast on Google Podcasts and is no longer around, I'm still on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Breaker. I'm on Audible. I'm also on Pandora. Yes, Pandora. And I'm on iHeartRadio. So I'm on there. So if you guys are looking for my podcast, where to find it, that's usually where you'll find it. So again, something happened with Google Podcasts. They're no longer around. I don't know why. It's just, I guess nobody was listening to, nobody was listening through Google Podcasts. I was listening to a lot of people's podcasts on Google's podcast. But it's not there anymore. So if you guys were looking for a podcast, listening to find my podcast, I told you guys exactly where to look for it. Apple Podcasts, probably the best. Spotify, they always take care of me. So there, I'm there also. So you can still listen to the podcast. You can still find me. Again, I'm there. I'm just double checking to make sure I am on Pandora. And again, follow me on YouTube. Eric B's Daily Vlogs. It's a little bit more, you know, I call it funner. If that's such a word. Funner. It's fun because I'm going out, going on about, going showing you guys San Francisco. The last one that I just did, the last one that I just uploaded, I was at Cherry Blossom to try to get a Terry burger. I'm trying to get to 1,000 vlogs by the end of the year. I'm at 933, and is most likely I will get 1,000 vlogs by then. I'm trying to get to 2,000 subscribers. I'm at 1820. I'm trying to get to 2,000 by 2025. For you guys out there who are listening, help me out here. Let me know what's going on. Let me know what, you know, what you guys need to do to help me out. I would greatly appreciate you guys. But this is fun. This has been good. It's good to get back into the whole podcast studio. It's fun to get back into the swing of things. I can't wait to talk about something else. We're probably going to talk about the NFL draft. I might go live. I might. We'll see. We'll see. But for you guys who hasn't watched Shogun, definitely go watch it. It's available on Hulu. You can watch it with the English dub if you're like me and wants to see the visuals. You can watch it there, or you can watch it the traditional way where there's subtitles at the bottom, or you can be like me, watch the English version and go back and watch the Japanese speaking version. That's how I did it. So just my way of saying I'm going to watch it twice, maybe three times, maybe even four times. And I did. Definitely highly recommended. Definitely something I think you guys will enjoy and watch. Again, also listen to Shogun, the original soundtrack. This is on Apple Music. This is where I have it. You can find it on all, whatever platform music you have, you can find it there. But this is where I have it. But until next time, I want to thank you guys again for listening. Thank you guys for supporting. Thank you guys for jumping on my podcast. And I want to thank you guys who listens to the podcast and watch the vlogs. Thank you guys for that. But until next time, this has been fun. This has been cool. I'm going to go watch Shogun. I'm going to go watch Shogun again. I'm going to watch the last episode of Shogun. I am. I will. Until next time, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for jumping on. The podcast is ended, guys. Go in peace.
Thanks for listening to the Daily Podcast with Eric B.
Maybe I'm not going to watch Shogun. Maybe I'll just listen to the soundtrack. This is the main title. Starts off really slow. Then it gets a little crazy.